This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Today we're talking about cashless economies and how it can be leaving some of the elderly behind. Over in China on WeChat, 50 million of its 1 billion active monthly accounts belong to users aged between the ages of 55 and 70. They use it to keep in touch with relatives and pay for services and one thing or another. But some of them, you know, are struggling with this because their eyesight is not so good. They're not so sure about the product that they're using. They don't know how to use the phone. And we worry about this as we are moving forward towards a cashless economy as well. We don't want to leave people behind. How can we help these people out, and what are some of the solutions that we've come up with or heard about that are helping the elderly? Arv, what have you got?
Yeah, so this comes from Daniel, who says that one of the issues with e-wallet is to top up the new account. Mm-hmm. It's already tedious enough on the linking process to credit cards or bank accounts. Apps like WeChat set a very small font, by default. Very hard for anyone with poor eyesight to use, let alone those who are blind, who rely on feeling the money by touch. Suggestion, have a separate payment counter that deals with cash only, while other payment confers for cashless ones.
Okay, not a bad suggestion at all. Keep them coming, folks. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter, on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Moving on to story number three, fighting wildfires with algorithms.
Yeah, so the California wildfires have been a big problem like year after year on an annual basis. It gets worse and worse every year. So last year, 1 million acres were burnt down. It was the most destructive wildfire that they had. And then this year, the thing that they dubbed the campfire is the deadliest wildfire in California history, with 85 people dead and 249 listed as missing. It has also destroyed some 19,000 buildings. I think they said it was 100% contained on Sunday. But then these things happen every single year, and then next year it'll start to spread again, and you know, more and more people will. It causes a lot of damage.
Yeah.
There's also the threat of climate change to make this worse, and these fires, there's a threat that these fires will get bigger and bigger. So what researchers have done is they've sort of resorted to using machine learning and algorithms to help them predict when the fires are going to happen, if a fire can happen, and if the fires do happen, how to put it out in the fastest time possible and to get people to safety as soon as possible. So one thing they can do is they say that the only way that people can alert the authorities now if there is a fire is by calling 911. So it's either reported by 911 calls or commercial flights they see it, or fire lookout stations. That approach sort of leaves these wildfires to go undiscovered for hours or even days at a time. There are satellites focused on the Earth that can improve some coverage. So NASA has two satellites orbiting Earth that scan nearly the entire planet once a day and can spot the thermal signatures of a fire. The process takes at least 3 hours, which is about the time it takes for the satellites to cross over the Goddard Space Flight Center outside Washington, D.C. But some scientists are saying that if they resorted to algorithms like what they are doing at NASA itself, that process could take a number of minutes instead of a few hours. That cuts down the time, which is crucial in these kinds of situations. They also say that what they have done is they have scaled down the work that the supercomputer does into a neural network that is small enough to run on the simple onboard computers of a satellite. So they trained the system on a year's worth of satellite imagery from around the world and created a system that is 98% accurate at recognizing fires. So I think because it's a thermal signature, it's easy to spot. It's one of those things that you don't have to wonder if this is a fire or not. I mean, it's very obvious on a thermal
signature. It either is or it's not.
Is or it's not. So that's one way. There's also the threat of people losing their lives because they are trapped in the fire, either people or animals, right? So they say that once the fire starts and once you have it somewhat under control, like it recedes, finding survivors and getting help to the people that need it is the biggest unsolved problem they have, because they have no idea how to do it other than being on ground and putting other people at risk as well, like the firefighters and stuff. So some researchers are mining social media data to improve disaster response. Going through it manually would be impossible, but different AI tools could pinpoint the most crucial messages. They say that machine learning system that can analyze tweets and identify volunteers and victims along with their locations is the best way to go. And it bridges the gap when traditional emergency help such as 911 and the non-governmental organizations seeking to help them. So basically what it does is it It filters millions of messages that are coming through. It pinpoints their locations, and then it makes it sort of determines where the messages are coming from. So if someone says they are stuck in, let's say they use keywords like wildfire, campfire, paradise fire, stuff like that, then those messages are filtered out, and then they track those messages alone.
And they're using that, you know, from stuff like Twitter and from everything.
Yeah. Right? Geotagging, stuff like that. So they can figure out exactly where these people are stuck, and then they can send help either by helicopter, either by foot. But at least it saves time on going through the forest themselves and, you know, determining is if there are survivors in this location, that location and stuff like that. And the third one is, of course, how to prevent forest fires. So this one is pretty interesting because it says that a pair of high school students in California itself, they are developing a tool that could pinpoint dry forest areas that are susceptible to wildfires. So the way this is done is by measuring biomass of fallen branches and leaf cover, which is a pretty challenging thing and is labor intensive. But by using sensors and Google's TensorFlow machine learning tool, Sanjana Shah and Aditya Shah, they have built something called Smart Wildfire Sensor to capture photos of nearby fallen branches and leaves and estimate an area's biomass, moisture content, and size to determine how much dead fuel is present and thus the likelihood of a fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
These are high school students.
These are high school students in California itself who are addressing the problem.
The youth will save the world, guys.
Right, ladies and gents, we are asking for suggestions on whether or not how we can help people who are struggling moving into a cashless economy. You know, what can we do to help them move into that? And kind of solutions that you've heard about on some of the things that you are struggling with. Let us know on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. On Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Any before we take a break? No?
Not yet.
Let's take a very short break then. Let's have some music. We've got a little bit of T-Rex with Bang A Gong. When we get back, our final story of the day with how solo founders regret going solo. Stories so far, we've had the cashless economy, seven ways to manage employee holiday time off, and of course, Arvin's story there with fighting wildfires with algorithms. If you've missed any part, don't forget you can download the podcast very shortly. A short break coming up here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.